world. Welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Tom Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And today's show, we're talking about, are holiday homes a good investment? Now, in our previous podcast, we've talked about the pros and cons of buying a holiday home, but now I really want to get into the numbers. So if I'm going to go and buy a holiday home as an investment, how should I do it? And I suppose when we're talking about buying a holiday home as an investment, Andrew, what do people mean?
I think they mean they're going to buy it and then they're going to put it on BookaBatch or Airbnb, generate some income.
Yeah, and I can live in it for a bit, I can go and stay there, and then I could also earn some income. Now, if you are seriously going to look at it as an investment, I would say forget about where you want to go on holiday yourself. We've got to get out of homeowner mindset and we've got to get into investor mindset, because we've got to first think about, what do people want to rent when they go on holiday? Where do they want to rent? What is the purchase price? And can I get a decent return out of this? That's how you buy it as an investment. Now, if you just want to buy a holiday home and earn some rental income,
then stop kidding yourself and don't call it an investment,
well,
right?
I personally wouldn't call it an investment. Yeah. But there are two types of places you can go after. So there are places with year-round appeal that are going to be rented all the time. Now, those areas tend to be more expensive. And if you just think in your mind, as you're listening to this, you know, what are they? You know what they are. It's Taupo, it's Queenstown, it's Rotorua, you know, maybe the Bay of Islands as well. Places that people go on holiday around the year. There are also places that are a bit more seasonal. So places like Owakune, which is by Mount Ruapehu, Bethven, which is down near Ashburton, that's by Mount Hutt. So kind of skiing destinations. And then also Gisborne is pretty seasonal.
Why so, Gisborne?
Well, once it gets to summer, it becomes very popular. Oh. People go to, what is it? Is that where the Rhythm and Vines is?
I have no idea.
That's a festival. I'm dancing around like I'm ridiculous. At Burning Man or something like that. And so, Andrew, what do the numbers look like if I want to purchase a holiday home as an investment?
Well, it depends if you go for something affordable or go for something very extravagant. So one of our financial advisors, Kathy Faulkner, she bought a holiday home. And actually, I remember her ringing me and telling me that she was going to do this, and I said I thought it was a bad idea. She did it anyway. And she,
oh, sounds like Kathy.
And she bought a property in,
I think it was in Tūrangi.
Yeah, it's a small town of under 4,000 people near Lake Taupō. Now, you can buy a holiday home there for between 500 and 600K.
That's pretty good shopping, yeah. Really. Whereas if you went to, like, Wanaka, it's a totally different story.
Yeah, somewhere between $1.5 and $4 million, probably for the same sort of thing. Now, when I think about most people buying a holiday home, I'm talking about one of the smaller towns. I'm talking about a Kathy Faulkner type holiday home, somewhere between $500K and $1 million. I'm not talking about the $5 million place in Queenstown.
Yeah, so let's talk about a specific house. I've been on Airbnb in preparation for this episode, and I found a really nice property that, oh, look, I'd like this as a holiday home. It's fantastic. In Owakune, so right by Mount Ruapehu. So if you're a skier, this might be the type of thing you're interested in.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it was probably a spec build. So these people probably bought the land and paid someone to build it. It's a few years old, I think. It's got the mountains in the background, 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms.
And one roof thinks it's worth about 690K. So let's say you bought it for that. Now, the average nightly rate is $345. And the occupancy for Owakune is around 30 to 50%.
And that's really important to point out, right? So if you go and look at all of the Airbnb stats, we just pull them off AirDNA, you know, the average occupancy is pretty low, 30 to 50%. Now, in a seasonal part of the country, like the Central Plateau around all of the mountains there, the skiing destinations, 30 to 50% seems to be pretty standard based on the numbers that I'm looking at. So it's going to be very popular in the middle of winter, and then also you'll probably get a spike around December. So let's say you could rent this out for almost $350 a week, Andrew. What do the numbers kind of look like?
So I think one of the biggest things that people miss is what sort of fees they're going to be paying. So Airbnb take 3%, and your property management's probably going to be at least kind of 15%. But one trick that I know a lot of people will forget about is the GST side of things. Now, if you are buying in a GST registered entity, and it does depend a little bit, and you want to get some advice around this, then obviously you need to factor that in as a cost as well.
But the other thing is that you're not thinking about is that the GST rules are about to change, right? So even if you're not GST registered, you are going to have to start paying GST under the new app tax. And it's about, oh, I like it when you say, oh, correct, because you didn't think about that.
I didn't think about that, you're
so
right.
So if you're running the numbers now, it's about a 6% haircut on your total revenue. That's what you're going to be paying out in GST. Now, technically, you know, you pay GST, then you get some money back from Airbnb. But on our numbers, if you're earning about $50,000 a year from your Airbnb, you got to pay almost $3,000 in GST. Yeah. So if you are running your numbers, you know, don't just think about your rates, insurance, your maintenance. And of course, you're going to be paying for electricity and internet as well. You also need to factor in your Airbnb fee, your property management fee. So if you live in Auckland and you've got a holiday home down in Tūrangi or Awakune, you're not going to be the one changing the towels. Mm. You're not the one changing the sheets. You're going to have to hire somebody to do that. So factor that in as well. And the GST is the big one that I think a lot of people aren't thinking about.
And actually, one thing that I noticed in your spreadsheet, now that you've got one over me, I think your maintenance is way too low. So you've used $1,000 a year. One thing to remember is you're going to furnish these properties so people can come and live in them. The replacement of stuff just getting broken and worn out is way higher than just a normal rental.
Okay, so I've factored in $1,000 a year. What do you want me to factor in?
I'd probably put in 2.5.
We'll add that in and we'll see what happens, and then we'll look at the numbers. Now, the truth is that the numbers are actually not terrible when you start looking at the cash flow, but let's talk about this. So if you have 30% occupancy, which is not unheard of in some of these areas, we expect you might bring in $38,000 of revenue. You might have almost $20,000 worth of costs. And so before you pay your mortgage, you've got about 18 grand that you can put towards that mortgage. Now, one of the things when talking about property investment, of course, is that everyone's got different sized mortgages. So if you have a very small amount of money to put into this, you're going to take a large mortgage. Your mortgage costs are going to be very high. You'll make less money. If you came along and bought this mortgage free, you'd probably say, cool, that's $18,000. I'll pay some tax on that. But actually, I'm pretty happy. I've got 18 grand worth of profit there. So it does depend on how big your mortgage is. Now, Andrew, would it be pretty typical for people buying a holiday home? Would they have a mortgage on this?
Oh, I think so. Often I will say to investors that I'm working with, hey, that's something you might do after you've paid off your personal mortgage. So let's say they've paid off their personal mortgage. They've got a 20% deposit themselves, borrow 80% at 7% interest rate today. Your mortgage cost is about $38,000 a year. So after you've taken your mortgage out, you've got a loss of about 20 grand a year.
So that'd be about $400 a week. That's probably, you know, around about what you'd expect for any other investment property you'd purchase. Now, that's on 30% occupancy. So if you were to increase that and you were able to rent it out for 40% of the time per year, that goes down to a loss of about $11,000. If you could rent it out for 50% of the year, you almost break even at that level of mortgage. You know, it might cost you $2,000 a year. And then in that case, you're probably thinking, oh, that's not terrible if you can get a 50% occupancy rate.
Hey, it's not a bad investment at that stage. But then now you've probably rented it out for all those weeks that you want to be in it yourself. And so now it doesn't make sense as your holiday home.
That is something that you've got to consider, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're renting out it out 50% of the year at one of these seasonal destinations, again, where is it that you're going to get that premium nightly rate of $350? It's in the middle of winter, and it's also going to be around Christmas in December. Now, if you decide as the owner, and you're within your rights to do this, that, no, I'm not going to rent it out over Christmas, I'm going to live in it myself. Well, if you rent it out to a family over Christmas, you'll probably get a fantastic nightly rate.
Yes.
But if you live in it, you're foregoing that amount of rent, you're forgoing that income from Airbnb. So you've ultimately got to weigh that up and decide, well, okay, you might be able to rent it out for 50% of the year, but are you actually willing to do that in practice? Because otherwise you might find that you're just there in the middle of summer when you can't ski on Mount Ruapehu.
I think this is where people sometimes kid themselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. If a holiday home's going to make you happy and you aren't going to actually rent it out for those periods where you're going to get the maximum amount of income, then just go do it. But don't kid yourself that all of a sudden it's a great investment.
I think the other thing is just in terms of, you want to consider capital growth as well. So a lot of the time, holiday homes are going to be in smaller towns. So, you know, not many people live in Awakune. I think it's probably, it's less than 20,000. Tūrangi that we just talked about, 4,000. And a lot of the kind of coastal areas of New Zealand that you might consider as a holiday home have very small populations. That does mean that property values don't tend to go up quite as fast in those areas, and they are often a lot more sporadic. So property values might stay flat for a while. If we think about a lot of holiday destinations, generally those property values of these areas will go up, especially when the economy is doing good, because holiday homes are more of an aspirational purchase. So if people owning businesses, their business is going really well, hey, the economy's strong, let's go buy a holiday home. at times where the economy is not doing so great, you might not see quite as much capital growth there or quite as many holidays being booked. I saw a really interesting comment as well from one person who said, well, if you're buying a seaside holiday home, you've got to remember, especially in a small town, you've got to remember that New Zealand has no shortage of coastal land. We've got heaps of it around New Zealand. And so if you're buying a very nice small seaside town, there are lots of those nice seaside towns, so your house may not go up in value as fast. But I must admit, Andrew, in terms of just running the cash flow on this and just choosing a random property off Airbnb without much care, just choosing something that looked okay, I was surprised that the numbers actually look pretty good if you're able to rent it out for 50% of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're thinking about this again as a money-making venture, this is going to work for someone who's really dedicated to making it work financially and is willing to rent it out for 50% of the year. But I think for most people, buying a holiday home is also about using it themselves. So they're probably more likely to err on the side of renting it out for 30% of the year and then having it available to them for the other 20% of the year that, you know, it's maybe in demand. So, you know, you've got to kind of weigh up, okay, well, if I'm going to be topping up by $400 a week, what if I took that 20 grand and I just spent that on a holiday every year and then invested where I want to invest?
That's what I always think about as well. Do I really, and it's different for everybody else. Like, do I really want to go to the same place every single year for the next 20 years? For me, the answer is no. I'm going to go traveling all over the country and all around the world because I want to explore new places. But if you're the sort of person who values going to the same place every year with the family, creating specific memories in that very specific place, then that's where the holiday home starts to become appealing, especially if you're a skier or you like water sports and you need somewhere to store your boat and your jet ski or your skis. And, you know, it has to be by a mountain. That's where it can be very, very appealing. Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you've got a question that you want us to answer on the podcast, either send me an email, ed@opuspartners.co.nz, or flick us a message on Instagram. We are @opus_partners. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Tim McKnight.
I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.